Today we're reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 14, The Three Modes of Material Nature, Texts 19 and 20. Here's text 19.
Nanyang gune bhyakartaram yada drashtanu pasyati gune bhyascha parang veti madbhavam sodhi gacchati.
Lord Krishna says, when one properly sees that in all activities no other performer is at work than these modes of nature, and he knows the Supreme Lord who is transcendental to all these modes, he attains my spiritual nature. So Bhagavad Gita is spoken to guide us to attain our original spiritual nature. We are all originally spiritual beings. We are covered by the modes of material nature, sattva-gun, the mode of goodness, rajagun, the mode of passion, tamagun, the mode of darkness, and thus we forget that we are spiritual by nature. But when we see that in material existence, what we take to be reality is actually the interaction of the modes of material nature, which we have no intrinsic connection with, then just by understanding that we don't really belong in this material world at all, just by understanding this, we become free from it. We attain to the spiritual nature, which is the nature of Krishna and all the liberated souls who live with Krishna eternally in service to Him. So here Lord Krishna is presenting a view, how we can see this material world. There are different ways to view this world. There are different intellectual methods of seeing what's going on in this world and why everything takes place. In the study of psychology, then they study people's motivations and how they, why people act in certain ways. Psychology, sociology, history, they all these disciplines, they study individuals and society and why people behave as they do. They offer different theories, and they may say, well, this person acts like this according to some suppressed Oedipus complex, or they have various theories. There are different ways, of course, of interpreting history. There's the Marx, Karl Marx, and he had his way of interpreting history. And there are many different theories which are released in human society, and there are, even in psychology, there are different schools of psychology and different theories, and there may be some truth in all that they say, but the overall picture given here by Lord Krishna, it's a different way of looking at the world than that we're used to. Generally, we all look at the world in terms of thinking in terms of I, me, and mine. In my present situation, what can I get out of this situation? How can I exploit it best for my own sense enjoyment, or how can I survive in this situation? But Lord Krishna teaches us to see that the Atma is ultimately, the Atma, the soul, is ultimately not the karta or the doer in this material world. Now this seems very difficult to understand, that we are not the doer of activities. Earlier in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna has stated, Prakrite kriyamanani gunai sarvani karmashah ahankara vimurhatma kartahamiti manyate, that a foolish person thinks that I am the doer, when actually we are under the control of the three modes of material nature. So the same thing is being reiterated here, and saying that when we see that we are not the doer, And then we become released from the influence of the modes of material nature. So it's difficult to understand. I mean, it's very common nowadays. There are courses like motivational courses, character building, which all reinforce the idea that we are the doer. And it certainly seems like that. If we work hard, we get one kind of result. And then if we don't work hard, we get another kind of result. So it is true from one perspective that it appears that we are doing something. In the Hitopadesh, that's also stated that nahi subtasya singhasya, nahi subtasya singhasya pravishanti mukhe mrigam, that the lion is very powerful, but he also has to get up and do some work. Otherwise, the animals don't just automatically enter his mouth. He has to go out and catch them. And here in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna states that we all have to do some kind of work, that sharira yatra pichate na prasidhyada karmana. Without doing some kind of work, without making some kind of endeavor, we can't even maintain the body. So are we acting? Are we doing? It seems like that, and there seems to be evidence in scripture also. Or is it, as Lord Krishna states here, that simply the modes are at work? Well, both things are true. But the overall picture that Krishna is giving is that we are within the modes of material nature. So even if we think, I am acting, we're only able to do something because the modes of nature are acting in such a way. Or even that someone becomes very enlivened to work hard and he thinks, I'm doing, but actually becoming enlivened to work hard means that he's also being inspired by the mode of passion, which is characterized by hard work. So he may think that I'm doing this, but actually we're driven by the mode of passion, by the modes of passion, by the modes we come in contact with, we tend to act. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Sangat Sanjayate Kamaha, our desires develop according to our association. Again in Bhagavad Gita, Purusha Prakriti Stohi Bhunte Prakriti Jan Gunan Karanam Guna Sangosya Sadasadhyoni Janmasu, that we are the Purusha in the sense that we are Atma, we are not actually associated with this material nature, but somehow or other, circumstantially, we are situated in this material nature, which this material nature means the three modes of material nature, mode of goodness, mode of passion, mode of ignorance, and they're acting upon us. And in this way, due to our association with the different modes, we get born in different situations and we tend towards different ways of acting. It's not such a difficult thing to understand that, for instance, if we come in contact with the mode of passion, then we tend to become very active. The mode of passion means a lot of action. The modern society is very much powered by the mode of passion. Everyone should work hard and earn lots of money and work more and more. And then when you have some leisure time, instead of relaxing, then I saw in Bangalore one advertisement, they were selling shirts or something. Work hard, party harder, something like that. The idea is that you should work hard and then in your free time, just instead of relaxing, that you enjoy life with even more vigor than you work. So this is society in the mode of passion, and people were not previously like this. In India, people have changed. We see the society has changed because of the propaganda. The propaganda to become more and more materialistic and work hard. And so we're also trying to make propaganda through the TV and through the distributing these books and in so many ways. Lead a better life. Don't be dragged away by the propaganda of society. That actually the whole modern society especially is giving this propaganda, work hard, just to develop the economy in the name of progress, but no one's happy. There's no progress. There's no progress of the spirit. We're simply bound more and more in the modes of material nature. And not even the higher modes, the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance. So Krishna is teaching us how we can see through the eyes of Shastra. Shastra Chakshuhu, our eyes should be the scripture, that we can see everything in terms of scripture. Don't see everything. We always see through others' eyes. No one's completely independent. Some fools say, don't accept any guru. He's becoming a guru by saying that because he's giving you instruction. So everyone is influenced by other people. We can't say, well, I completely have my own ideas. That's not possible, because we've come in contact with so many people and our way of thinking has been formed by so many others. So our proposition and Krishna's proposition here in Bhagavad Gita is, don't be influenced by people who, even though they may be well-meaning, they may think that what they're teaching us is right. Don't be influenced by people who don't know what is the actual fact. That is why we should see through the eyes of scripture given by Krishna and given to us through a bona fide spiritual master, great Acharya. Srila Prabhupada is giving this knowledge in Bhagavad Gita as it is. Same knowledge that Krishna gives. How Prabhupada is giving it, just like a magnifying glass captures the sun's rays, which is already bright and strong, and focuses that on a point, so that magnifying glass, the sun's rays through a magnifying glass makes it even more potent and powerful and hot. So in the same way, Prabhupada is magnifying or focusing, we can say he is focusing the teachings of Lord Krishna on the requirement of modern human society. So we should see that we may think, yeah, I'm a free thinker and I'm doing what I like, but we're all influenced by the modes of nature. And when we can see that, then just by seeing that, how everything is acting according to the modes of nature, then we ourselves, seeing that means seeing through the knowledge given by Krishna, seeing through the eyes of scripture, seeing through Bhagavad Gita, when we see that, then we can stand aloof. Oh, no, I'm not going to follow. Just because everyone else is doing like this, why should I follow? Let me follow what Krishna says. Then we become free from the influence of the modes of nature, as Krishna describes in the next verse. Gunane tana tityatrin dehi deha samudbhavan janma mrityu jara dughair vimukto mritam ashnute. Lord Krishna continues, when the embodied being is able to transcend these three modes associated with the material body, he can become free from birth, death, old age, and their distresses, and can enjoy nectar even in this life. So these are the effects of, here in this verse is described, the effects of being entangled in the modes of nature, and the effect of getting free from the modes of material nature. By being entangled in the modes of material nature, we have to suffer birth, death, then old age, and not mentioned here, but disease and so much suffering. It's very, very foolish to think that this material life is happy. Very foolish. The cause of all our suffering is the mistake of thinking that we can be happy in this material world, when actually it's a place of suffering. Just understand that our attempt to enjoy this material world simply entangles us in repeated suffering. But if we can transcend these three modes of material nature, if we can understand that actually I have nothing to do with this body or this society or the attempt to enjoy this material world, I belong to Krishna. And just by understanding this, we become immortal. Our situation beyond the modes of material nature is already guaranteed, because we're fixed in Krishna consciousness. Now, what does this practically mean? Does that mean that we just leave human society, or we just become so detached from what's going on that we don't speak to anyone? Or no, it doesn't mean... Bhagavad Gita is not at all an excuse for becoming a recluse or becoming irresponsible. Actually, Arjuna, Krishna chastised him that he wanted to become irresponsible and leave his duty. But Krishna told him, no, I want you to fight. But that's material. That's not good, Arjuna said. And Krishna said, no, you do it, but you think of me and fight. So that's the secret. That a person in Krishna consciousness acts in this material world and in many ways might seem to be part of this material world, but by his elevated consciousness, he knows that even though I am apparently acting in this world, I have nothing to do with it. I don't belong to this material world. I belong to Krishna. So he lives in this world and acts in this world, but he does everything Krishnarthe akila cheshta, everything for the satisfaction of Krishna. There is an art of working. A yoga karma sukoshalam. Yoga means to act very expertly in this world in a manner that we don't get entangled in material life, but that we get extracted. By performing work, instead of becoming entangled in the reactions of the work, which happens if we identify with the work, I am the doer. If we understand that I am not the doer, I am Atma, I really have nothing to do with this body will die, but I will continue to exist. I'm not this body, I'm spirit soul, I belong to Krishna. So if we have this consciousness, then even though living in this world, we become more and more attracted to Krishna, and we're not entangled in this world. Now, of course, talk is cheap, we could say. It's easy to say that. But the fact is that the effect of the modes of material nature is very powerful. And even if we theoretically understand that I am not this body, I belong to Krishna, I'm eternal spirit soul, I don't have anything to do with the modes of nature, even if we theoretically accept that, at the same time, living in this world, we tend to get influenced by the modes of material nature. We tend to get influenced by everything going on around us, what other people say and what they think. So, therefore, practically to imbibe this very elevated spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness in our lives, it's necessary that we undertake the process of sadhana, Krishna bhakti sadhana. There is a process of acting in Krishna consciousness, performing specifically and directly Krishna conscious activities. Those activities are centered on chanting the holy names of Krishna, japa that's called, chanting again and again the holy names of Krishna, systematically studying Bhagavad Gita as it is, and other Vaishnav scriptures. Studying means we don't read Bhagavad Gita like some novel, some book for entertainment, but studying in a worshipful manner and trying to understand what Krishna wants of us. So it is necessary that we engage in these direct activities of Krishna consciousness so that when we have to interact with the modes of material nature, for instance, we may be doing some everyone has some occupation, whatever it may be, then we're in contact with the material modes of nature, but we are at the same time aloof by the consciousness of remembering that actually I have nothing to do with this, I belong to Krishna. Now, admittedly, it is difficult to remember all the time that we belong to Krishna. Arjuna had to fight and remember Krishna. Now he may think, well, that was easy because Krishna was standing with him, but then he had to remember that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Arjuna himself is not the doer. Everything is being done by the not for the devotee, they're not by the modes of nature, but he is under Krishna's direction. So it's a challenge for all of us, but that is the challenge to remember Krishna, that which comes about by performing this process of Krishna bhakti sadhana. That will keep us strong. We have to put Krishna at the center of our lives. Otherwise, it's very easy to get sucked in by the modes of material nature. We're all, anyway, the modes of material nature are acting on us. Those who are more in the mode of goodness, they may be more inclined towards spiritual life. Those in the mode of passion are very active. Those in the mode of ignorance, there's nothing auspicious in their lives. The influence of these modes, they're acting upon us. How to get free? It is essential to take up the process of Krishna Bhakti Sadhana. So in these series of lectures, these TV lectures, we are more or less exhorting everyone to please take up Krishna Bhakti in your lives. But we're not very much teaching how that should be done. That's the next stage. Now, if you want to go further, if you think that what's being presented here is something actually very valuable for you, which it definitely is, then you have to contact the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness and learn from them. You'll need some personal guidance upon how to take up the process of bhakti in your own individual life. The process is simple, but it requires some specific direction, how to chant with beads, and then how to get in contact with devotees, attending regular satsangs or meetings of devotees, so that we can imbibe the atmosphere of Krishna consciousness, so that we are not shaken by the atmosphere of this material world. So all this is required. Here we are speaking the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. How you can apply it in your practical life. To do that, you please contact the members of ISKCON and get in touch, and they'll tell you how you can attend regular discourses on this Bhagavad Gita as it is, and on other books such as The Nectar of Devotion, which gives guidance on the practical activities, how we should worship Krishna in our lives, how we should chant the holy names, with what attitude we should chant the holy names, how we can understand what is real Krishna consciousness and what is some kind of show of Krishna consciousness influenced by the modes of material nature, how we can actually and practically become pure devotees in our practical life. So the modes of material nature are whirling and swirling all around us, but if we can take instruction from Krishna and his representatives, you don't belong here, you belong to Krishna, then we can transcend the modes of material nature. The practical process to do that is the process of bhakti yoga, or activities in Krishna consciousness, only for Krishna's pleasure, which of course all center around the beautiful Maha Mantra, which you can all please chant with me, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
The ancient wisdom that you have just heard is contained in the publications of the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust.